Jackie Robinson hit that ball. It went zooming across the left field wall. Yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie, hit that ball.
One of the best baseball songs of all time from Count Basie there. It was 65 years ago that Jack Roosevelt Robinson, the son of sharecroppers in Georgia, joined the ranks of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Changed everything.
Became the first African-American in Major League Baseball. He opened the door, but lately there are fewer and fewer blacks coming through it. The numbers of African-Americans in baseball has been steadily declining for years now. In this season, only 8% of ballplayers are African-American, half as many as in 1959 when the Boston Red Sox integrated. They were the last team to do so. At the peak of diversity, at least for African-Americans, about one in every four players was black. Joining us now, Jonathan Eig, author of Opening Day, the story of Jackie Robinson's first season, and editor-in-chief at Chicago Side Sports. Also, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, our sports contributor. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Hey, good.
Thank you.
I wonder, Jonathan, how much a question or a, I guess, matter of concern this is. Should we really be worried about diversity in baseball, or is this simply that people are choosing other sports, or they're simply not choosing baseball?
Well, baseball's more diverse than it's ever been. You know, African-Americans aren't playing as much as they used to, but you've got a much greater, richer international palette of players than ever. The field, if you look at your ballpark today, when you go out to the ballgame, it looks incredibly diverse. There are certainly all different colors, all different countries represented. So I'm not too terribly concerned about that. I think it's a shame that the game is failing to appeal to a lot of young African-Americans. It's not their game of choice anymore, and that's baseball's loss. But I don't see it as a great social policy concern.
Well, Ibrahim, let me put to you a comment made by a player, Vernon Wells. He says, the reason is simple, really. The length of time it takes to get to the big leagues is a turnoff, and having to go to minor league cities most people have never heard of is a turnoff. The NFL and NBA make for a quicker way to be famous. Your response?
I think if the point is getting to be famous, then I think that he has a point there. I mean, the numbers are very clear. 1.3% of college basketball players go pro. You have a better percentage, 10%, a little over 10% of NCAA male baseball players that will get drafted by Major League Baseball. So if your goal is to go pro and to make money, then you have a better chance of getting to the major leagues through baseball if you're willing to do the work. And that's the challenge here. And baseball players actually have a longer average career. So, you know, you're signing your big contract when you're in your late 20s, mid to late 20s, whereas in basketball, you're basically sunsetting at that point.
So let me go back to you, Jonathan Eig, because here's some statistics that concern me. For example, there is no person of color who is a team president or a CEO. Very few African-American team physicians, only 13% last season, and very few head trainers in the major leagues. Is that something we should be concerned about?
That is definitely something we should be talking about, something we should be concerned about, especially if you just look at it in terms of the timing. There were a large number of African-Americans in the game in the 70s and 80s, and these are the guys who should be helping to run the game right now. These are the guys who should be running teams and running the leagues, and you don't see as much of that as you should, and that's something Jackie Robinson complained bitterly about in his last days when he was honored in the 70s for his the anniversary of his arrival in the major leagues. He would not accept those honors without pointing out very sharply that Major League Baseball was not doing its job in promoting African Americans as managers and future owners of teams.
And we should remember that Jackie Robinson was a smart guy. He left baseball and went on to be a CEO and a business executive. Ibrahim, why the lack of diversity among the power structures in Major League Baseball?
There's a lot of reasons for that, but I do want to call out a little bit that we have. And ironically, at this particular moment, Magic Johnson is the face of an ownership group that's buying the LA Dodgers. And I think that sort of is an interesting point to really think about in this particular moment when there's very few people in management, that you have a former basketball player who's got the ability to have that kind of presence to be able to buy a baseball team, but there's no former baseball players that are in the position to go buy a baseball team or have an ownership stake of a baseball team, like, say, a Nolan Ryan or someone like that. I think it's a real travesty of what's happening right now. The major baseball players like a Barry Bonds or people that from this most recent generation that could potentially be the next generation's GMs and owners are being vilified and, you know, have gone through a rough time. And I don't think we're going to see them in that position.
Well, Jonathan, your response to that?
Oh, he's right. It's a great irony that basketball is producing our greatest African American stars and sports business leaders, and it makes sense. Basketball is the bigger entertainment sport right now in America. You see the same thing in football. You see football players obviously enjoying a much greater public profile today than baseball players.
Well, but it may be an irony. It may be something that people who love baseball are concerned about, but I'm not convinced, Ibrahim, that it represents something that we have to worry about as a society.
I don't know if we have to worry about it as a society. I think that the nature of all of these sports is changing. I mean, the biggest, the most relevant to Jackie Robinson's legacy this year, you could argue, was the rise of Jeremy Lin and the role that he played in putting Asian American players on the map in basketball. I think that's more of his legacy than anything that we're seeing now. Because also you see this, I think what's more concerning is that Jackie Robinson politically had to be very calm and he had to be very respectful. He had to play very careful when he came in. Over time, athletes were much more political people and were expected to have a political voice. Now we're going back to a time when athletes are very quiet in the political sphere, and I think that society is at a loss in general because of that.
All right, so let me go back to you, Jonathan. Ike, 65 years on, what is the biggest legacy that Jackie Robinson left behind? If it wasn't the number of players in playing baseball, what is it?
Well, clearly Robinson sparked a great civil rights movement in this country. He came along before there were sit-ins and before there were before Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King, and he showed that African Americans could contribute if they were given the chance to compete equally. That's obviously his greatest legacy, and that carried through many, many decades. Today, if you want to say, you know, what's his greatest legacy, I think it's the fact that he proved that diversity helps make teams better. That's not just sports teams, it's business teams, it's any organization that opens itself up to new ideas and to outsiders who may not initially be welcome, those organizations get better for having been open-minded and for having tried new things and sparked creativity. That's what Jackie Robinson did for baseball and for America.
Yeah, certainly a message that goes beyond just Major League Baseball. Jonathan Eig, author of Opening Day, the story of Jackie Robinson's first season, and editor-in-chief at Chicago Side Sports, and Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, Takeaway Sports contributor. Thanks to both of you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.